I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Child marriage is still a painful reality for millions of young girls around the globe, especially in places like Pakistan, where each year, poverty and cultural norms force thousands of young girls out of school and into arranged marriages. All this week, our Across Women's Lives team is reporting from Pakistan, exploring how U.S. foreign aid to the country tries to improve the lives of adolescent girls there. It's part of a series we're calling Balance of Power. Today, The World's Carolyn Beeler brings us a story of a young woman who was forced to marry at 17, but somehow found a way to take her life back into her own hands.
This is what Ume Salma remembers about her wedding day.
Before I started to dress up, I closed my room and I cried a lot. And I told myself that this is all you're going to cry in the rest of your life.
The groom was 26. Salma was 17. She was transformed from an overachieving 10th grader into a bride terrified of what would happen on her wedding night.
I was not educated about the subject even, so I was really scared of him coming in the room. So I went to the washroom and I locked myself up. And now I look back at it and I think, how many more girls out there they would have experienced the same feeling?
One in five girls today in Pakistan gets married by the age of 18. Many are poor. They get pregnant quickly, drop out of school, and pass their fate along to their daughters. But Salma's family isn't poor, and this is not that story. Salma's marriage was arranged to help her family win allies in a generations-old dispute. Salma agreed to the arranged marriage only after her husband's family promised that she could stay in school. And she did, even after getting pregnant at 17.
I remember I would climb four stories with the swollen belly and all. And it was hard. If I think back now, I really wonder how did I do it. Maybe I didn't know that it was hard. Nobody told me it's hard. So I just did it, you know.
But Salma's husband didn't like her career ambitions. They split about a year ago. Salma is 23 now, confident and practical with a wide smile. Her 5-year-old daughter, Umaima, lives with Salma's mother now at the family's home in a dusty small town about 4 hours from Lahore. Salma moved away for school years ago and just got her engineering degree from a top-notch university in Islamabad.
Bhaage, bhaage, run, 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 main count kar.
Salma visits her daughter when she can, about every other weekend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
no?
They sit together for a bit, and then Umaima gets up to tear around the house and courtyard, sandals slapping against the stone floor. Juggling single parenting and career ambitions is not easy for Salma. Sometimes Umaima doesn't even call her mom. She uses the Urdu word for older sister.
Obviously, I miss her a lot and she misses me as well. But I think eventually in a couple of years, we'll be staying together. So probably we'll make up for it. But it's hard, you know, but you have to do it sometimes.
Salma just got an engineering job with a big oil and gas company. Soon, she'll be spending 3 weeks a month working on an oil rig in southeastern Pakistan.
I had to do this, you know, because it's eventually where I want to be and where I want my daughter to be. This is, I think, the sacrifice time for both of us.
Sacrifice. It's a subject a girl married off at age 17 knows all too well. I sat down with Salma's mother, Shafkat Munir, to ask how she feels now about asking her daughter to make that sacrifice.
Do you ever feel guilt or sadness about Umi's marriage?
I feel so.
Sitting side by side on the couch, Salma translates for her mother.
So she thinks that if I had not the added responsibilities of marriage and children, then maybe I would have been able to excel more. So this makes her feel guilty sometimes.
Munir says she felt forced into marrying off her daughter to help settle a dispute with another family. She doesn't know if she'd do it again.
It depends. Depends ke Allah ta'ala Allah kare us tarah ke halaat dobara na ho.
She hopes that she never has to face the same circumstance ever again.
The child marriage rate in Pakistan has dropped by half in the past two decades. Sindh, the country's largest province, recently raised the legal age of marriage from 16 to 18. A similar law was proposed at the national level, but was thrown out after being deemed un-Islamic. Advocates say the toughest part of reducing child marriage rates is changing attitudes about the practice. But that's the very thing Salma has managed to do in her family.
17.
Salma was 17 when she got married.
Same, 17.
So was her mother. But the granddaughter in the family?
No, 17.
Not 17, Grandma says.
She really wishes and hopes that she goes farther than what I did, and she not only makes a name for herself, but be a strong person.
For now, Umaima is just a five-year-old playing on the swing set with mom, making the most of the time they do have together.
The World's Carolyn Beeler reporting there from Pakistan, and Carolyn joins us now on the line from Islamabad. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, Marco.
So I got to say, Umi Salma seems like a really remarkable young woman, but clearly it's not an easy road to get to where she is. Is it fair to assume that this is not typical of how cases of child marriage work out in Pakistan?
That's definitely fair, Marco. Typically, if you get married when you're young here, you are married into your husband's family. The opportunities for education and career are very slim. Ume had to really fight to make that happen for her. And this sort of is borne out in a really surprising statistic that I read the other day, which is that 57% of women who are married in Pakistan have never set foot in a school room.
So what is the U.S. government doing about the problem of child marriage in Pakistan?
Well, I was digging around into that and looking into what the U.S. government is doing because they recently released this report in 2016 called the U.S. Global Strategy to Empower Adolescent Girls. The U.S. is paying a lot more attention to adolescent girls lately. And in that report, they called child marriage a human rights abuse and made reducing early and forced marriage a key goal. But I was surprised to find out that USAID, the big development arm of the U.S. government, doesn't have any programs that are explicitly focused at changing attitudes about child marriage or trying to reduce child marriage as sort of a primary goal.
So not a single program. Why is that?
Well, I asked USAID about this, and they didn't give me a straight-on answer. They said that they do incorporate anti-child marriage programming into other components of their programming, including education and community awareness, economic development. And one of the big things that they are doing that might move the needle on this is last October, Michelle Obama announced this $70 million joint initiative called Let Girls Learn in Pakistan. And so the government says that this is a good way to try to prevent child marriage. But in talking to some folks here on the ground, they say that education is helpful, but it's not the whole solution. So I spoke to Anis Jalani, who's a child rights lawyer in Islamabad, and I asked him, will just boosting girls' education work to stop child marriage?
Of course not. Child marriage is a complicated problem in Pakistan. It's a customary issue. It has religious connotations. Education is only one way to handle it, but it's not the only way.
And by that, he meant it's not a silver bullet. It can't be the only solution because then it won't work.
So do you have a sense of why this practice of girls getting married at a young age is so entrenched in Pakistan?
I think part of it is traditional. As you heard in the story, Ume's mother got married at 17, and she did as well. But a lot of it is cultural and has links to Islam. As I mentioned in the story, there was a law that was proposed to try to raise the age of marriage for girls to 18, and that was thrown out. And I spoke to Marvi Memon, who was the legislator who introduced this bill. And she said that she had to sort of drop it right away when it was labeled something called potentially blasphemous by an Islamic body that sort of looks at legislation and decides if it's appropriate or not.
When the word potential blasphemy comes up, any sane legislator backs away because I intend doing politics for the rest of my life. And if you've got this stigma of potentially having committed blasphemy, you can't really work.
And that was Marvi Memon, who's a legislator who we're actually going to hear a lot more from in a piece tomorrow.
Carolyn, just one thing quickly on your story. I'm curious to know, how hard was it for Umi to separate from her husband.
You know, I asked her about this, and she didn't want to talk a lot about her separation. I think it was painful, and it is not a common thing to happen in Pakistan. She's actually not legally divorced. She is separated, so that might hint at the gray area that is happening right now.
All right, we'll leave it there today. The World's Carolyn Beeler reporting in Pakistan this week for our Balance of Power series, looking at how U.S. foreign policy impacts women around the globe. Carolyn, thanks a lot. Looking forward to hearing more.
Thanks, Marco.